And inch by inch, row by row, I'm gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain come tumbling.
Welcome back to In the Garden. I'm Kelly Casey, and our host with the most is Shar Shar. How does your very fall garden grow?
It is definitely very fallish, and I'm getting sadder by the day.
How many layers do you have on right now?
Two or three.
Me too. We are on location once again, and thanks to Shar for this season's hosting right here at the farm. And I noticed when I went down to the barn today also, I know it's changing of the seasons because it's time to ferret out the electric water bucket.
Oh,
because
yes.
Because pretty soon that water is going to be frozen solid when we go down in the morning. And I just can't believe another season has raced by.
Yes, I agree.
Before we start into our topic today of succulents, we're going to give a hats off and a attaboy to a very productive gardener who has made the corner at Res Church here in Hastings a beautiful site with a huge berm of red canna lilies. And we are just going to say he is going to have his work cut out for him. I did stop and find out that it's basically one gardener who put those wonderful bulbs in, and they have to come out this fall.
Yep.
So I hope that he has some extra hands to help him. And I also hope he has a good dry storage place to keep all those wonderful bulbs. Or maybe he's going to be sharing those with other parishioners, parting them out for the wintertime. But it's a wonderful, wonderful thing when people have such a huge stand of those, and they looked beautiful all summer. So we've been enjoying those as well as other gardens. But right now we're going to move things back
indoors,
and we're going to talk about succulents.
You bet. One of my favorite houseplant families, in addition to African violets, is the succulent family. What a variety in that species. And I think more so in recent years. When I was little, I don't recall too many succulent varieties in people's homes. I do remember my mom had a hardy variety of hen and chicks in the succulent family, and she grew those outdoors. But today I'd like to focus on the indoor varieties. Now, granted, you can take them outdoors in summertime, during which time you'll probably see a burst in their vigor and even growth in some varieties. A word of caution about growth later on. The thing that makes succulents so appealing to many people, youngsters included, is a simple easiness to care for them. They require much less watering than any other houseplants, and plus they're just plain cute. Before we get into some of the fun types of succulents, let's just touch on a few of the care tips for them. They really don't like compacted soil, so some potting mix with a sandy blend is perfect. There are special succulent and cactus potting soil mixes that work, and if you don't want to go that way, if you have some sandbox play sand, you could add that to some potting soil that you may already have. Bright light up to 6 to 12 hours a day is always their preference. Wintertime, you can't get the 12, obviously. A sunny window. The more sun the plant can tolerate, such as a Haworthia type of succulent, they have a harder type leaf, and that means that they can tolerate more sun. They don't like to be in a cool room very much. Remember where they've been grown, in warmer climates, so they do prefer warmth. Fertilizing, most varieties don't need a lot, but maybe near the end of winter, when the light has been short, a boost of special succulent fertilizer might be helpful. They're not fond of nitrogen, so your formula should be 2-7-7. 2 is the nitrogen and the 7s are the phosphate and potash. Watering, I would say once a week is sufficient, provided it is a thorough watering. And the beauty of their not needing to be kept moist is if you took a 2-week winter vacation and no one was able to water them while you were gone, they will be just fine when you get back. Actually, some plant tags will tell you to water certain succulents every 2 weeks, sometimes every 3 weeks, or even once a month, believe it or not. You have to make sure and read the specific succulent directions. And a general rule, if you're not sure or if there aren't any specific instructions, once a week is okay. Containers. If you're into houseplants, you may have already discovered that clay pots are not necessarily the best for regular houseplants that need ample moisture. Moisture evaporates through those porous clay pots. However, clay pots are perfect for succulents and cacti. So all those clay pots you have on the back shelf of your garden area, get those out and use them for succulents. Never use too big a pot at first, always just a size or two up from that little tiny plastic pot the succulent probably are sold in. And here too is what's fun. You can use some unique and actually comical containers for your succulents. But if there's no drainage holes in the bottom of the container, please provide a layer of small gravel so that the roots don't stand in water, because that's deadly to the plant. Now for the fun part, and before I begin, I do have to tell you that sometimes if you don't know what type, shape, or size it will grow into, you might wind up being surprised, as I have been on several occasions. A very cute succulent I bought this past season ended up so far being 20 inches tall. Don't get me wrong, I still love it. I love its unusual leaves, but you have to have a place for something that's tall, too. Of some of the varieties of the Sempervivum, they can grow into having huge leaves, beautiful but definitely needing some extra space. Some succulent varieties have eruptions of their babies or offshoots from their underground roots, almost like the mother's tongue houseplant in a way. And if you see some succulents in a store and you might be wary of what you're buying, if the grower or the plant supplier has a scientific name on the plant's label somewhere, it wouldn't hurt if you have access to the internet to jot the name down and look up the variety. It might be cute to start with, but later on you could say, why did I buy this? So it's all about being a smart shopper. But if you're also like me and willing to risk a surprise or two along the way, just forge on ahead. Have fun. As to types of succulents, first of all, you probably have all had or seen an aloe vera plant. It's a succulent. It's the most easily cultivated one ever and great to have in the kitchen in case you have a burnt finger or outdoors a bug bite. Just break off the tip of one of its leaves and apply to the burn or the bite. Very soothing. Our late friend of In the Garden, Jerome, that was his favorite. Another succulent plant you all may be familiar with, and one that the lady across from me gifted, was the mother of thousands plant. It's in the Kalanchoe family of succulents. Now, I've mentioned Haworthias before. Now, since this is radio, it's hard to describe them, except their growth is a lot like the aloe vera plant, except they're usually shorter in size and their leaves are harder to the touch. They don't have that gel-like substance inside at all. A lot of Haworthias have tiny little bumps, a lot like tiny pearls, uniformly all over the surface of their leaves, and they do grow in rosette shapes. I mentioned the Sempervivum family, here, if you know what hen and chicks look like, then think of this family that way, because that's where they're in, the Sempervivum family. They almost always have a rosette shape to them. Some have the babies like hen and chicks, some do not, or some have their chicks less frequently than the common hen and chicks. And in this category, I have my eye on one called Sempervivum Merlin. It has like maroon centers on the leaves, and then the outer part of the leaves have a very light green, just a real striking color combo. So that's on my wish list. So very similar to that family is the Echeveria family. They also grow in a rosette shape. They come in beautiful colors, but they're hard to tell apart, those two particular families. Aeoniums, most aeoniums also have a rosette shape, but they sometimes have their foliage grow on the end of stalks. Very beautiful, with fleshy leaves, and sometimes come in tricolors, white, pink, and green, all in one plant. Senecios, I would say senecios have the most unusual shapes in the succulent world. And some senecios are not succulents. They cross over into the other world of houseplants. But of the succulent senecios, the most common one sold, and you've probably seen this, is the string of pearls. Very, very beautiful and delicate looking, just like a string of green pearls hanging down, and about the size of pearls too. And a lot of senecios trail like the string of pearls, but again, some are upright. And again, as I said before, most unusual shapes ever. Now here's a mouthful, Andromachus. To describe this small family of succulents, I would say they stay fairly small and they have wedge-shaped leaves. And the edges of the leaves are what appeals to me the most. They're slightly and daintily ruffled, hence their name, crinkle leaf plant. And as many succulents do, they send out a bloom stalk of about 6 inches, the end of which nondescript flowers appear. But hey, they do bloom.
Now, is a Christmas cactus considered a succulent, Char?
It is not. It has the leaf of a succulent, but we can get into that closer to Christmas time.
We will. I just wanted to mention that because I have to remind myself, I have to bring mine in this fall.
Yes,
I've had it out all summer. And we're talking about succulents today on In the Garden. And Char's favorite, she has a whole table of them here, and they're wonderful to look at. And it makes me feel like I'm in the Southwest.
Oh, good, good, good. That was my plan. Crassulas. Now, crassulas have a layered effect of leaves going up a stalk. Some are miniatures, some grow upward, and some can be 2 feet tall. They only need watering every 3 weeks. Can you believe that? I didn't bring one out on my little table here, but the one I like and have is called the Crassula muscosa. It's the watch chain plant. It actually looks like kind of underwater seaweed, but very, very tiny leaves, and only gets to be about 6 inches tall, and it looks just like old-fashioned watch chains used to look like. But the one in this family I think most everybody knows about is the jade plant, Crassula ovata. It is susceptible to overwatering, especially in the cold season. You could get leaf fall or root rot if you water it too much. But on the other hand, lack of water can damage it also. When a jade plant is placed in direct sunlight, the leaves take on a red tinge. And if you're one of the people out there that can get your jade plant to bloom, we want to hear from you. Send pictures. It takes a jade plant many years to bloom. In other words, it has to be a very mature plant, usually. Blooming is sometimes prompted when the daylight becomes shorter, like in winter months, or if the watering is lessened and they have starry little clusters at the end of the stalks, which turn brown in a short time, and then you get back to watering on a regular schedule. Euphorbias, this family includes the crown of thorn plants, and that's deceiving because some of their leaves are just like the tree leaves, so a little different kind, but many, many varieties there. And sedums are a succulent, and you might think, well, they grow outside all winter long. Yes, they do, and they survive Minnesota winters. But there are also sedums for indoors as well. One's called the burrow tail, donkey tail or burrow tail. The lady across from me should get one of those. The only problem with those, their little leaves, they usually hang down in it, sort of like a tail fashion. Their little tiny leaves break off so easily. But I have found that with the burrow tail leaf and a lot of other sedums, if you have some moist sand sitting around, pop those little broken off leaves into a sand, and pretty soon you'll have a new little baby plant going on there. You know, I could go on and on. There are just literally hundreds, probably thousands of succulents. And the one that I have the hardest time trying to keep is one called Living Stones. They're called lithops. They just kind of go turn to mush real easily.
I had one
easily.
Too. Exactly the same thing happened.
Yep. They turn to mush so easily. They look like living stones. Or sometimes there's a little split in the middle. They look like the cloven hooves of animals. They tend to split and shed their outer shell and can continue on with formations from the inside of themselves. They're native to the deserts of South Africa, like many succulents are. So I'm thinking that if they thrive in soil, sandy soil with very little water and blistering hot temperatures, maybe I've watered them too much and I don't have enough heat in my house, you think?
I think that's the tendency, though, and especially with succulents. You've had such a great success with them. And looking at all these various ones, I think I'm getting the bug to try them once more, especially the little prickly one that I think would be really great in a container that makes mm-hmm. it look like that's its hair.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yes. I think that's something I would like to try. And I do discourage putting things in a clay pot for most of my practices,
right.
just because you have to have the saucer underneath it, and mm-hmm. it just doesn't seem to have the versatility. So I think I'm going to drag a couple of those out.
Good.
And see if I can't use those. You've inspired me today, Char.
Good, good. That was the goal.
I have a question, though. As you were talking about succulents, and you said that the sedum sometimes is confused with being a different plant because it is outside in mm-hmm. our cold Minnesota winters.
Mm-hmm.
What about the people that have those desert plants outside all winter and they come up every spring? Those huge...
Like the Candle of the Lord?
Yes.
And they're in the yucca family.
How does that happen?
They must have developed from being a certain climate and probably adapted somehow. I've seen them
planted in the ground.
I
don't understand.
It's amazing. You do see some die out on their foliage. So the winter is tough, you'll see some die out on that foliage. So, but to get them to the point where they have this huge, 4 feet tall bloom stalk, it's just incredible.
It just doesn't look right. I will see them actually poking up through the snow, and it just doesn't
yes.
look like it could be.
Yes.
And I can't even keep one of my little mums going from year to year. So how in the world they get these desert-themed plants to grow in our Minnesota winter, I don't know. But those are the questions we ask ourselves here on In the Garden. And we hope that through our season, which will end at the end of November with our big Christmas gift idea show that we always look forward to, we have touched on so many topics, and Char is always so prepared. I thank her again for not only hosting us in this on-location unique year because of our social distancing. We are at an 8-foot table, she on one end, I on the other,
yep.
and we make it work.
Yep.
But we have been just so blessed to be able to bring this to you every Wednesday, and we are only on KDWA. We hope you'll join us again next Wednesday. Thanks so much for being here, Char.
You're welcome. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. That's In the Garden for today. Remember to tune in for our next program with host Char Char. We'll bring you a full season of information on all things green and growing. From foliage to flowers, veggies to patio planters, we'll share our love for gardening thanks to these fine sponsors.